Yeah, that would be key. Get batteries and you need to turn it on, right? Yeah, I mean, what are you doing? You just hand me the batteries and think I know what to do? And okay, sorry about that. Sorry about that. Everybody else said, you know, I like that better. It was a more of a soothing lullaby. And I think I could go to sleep with that, right? So, oh well, blame these guys for that. Luke chapter 8, I want to give you the context so that as we roll into this, this is Jesus continuing to speak after it looks like he has the disciples, which, you know, sometimes the apostles are called disciples, and all disciples aren't apostles, but it appears that he's speaking to the 12 here. Look at verse 9. And his disciples ask him, saying, what might this parable be? Now, you could suggest it could be others that were following him, but I'm going to suggest it's probably the 12. And he gives them the explanation or the understanding of the parable of the seed and the sower, and that's what I preached last week. And so then he continues in verse 16. Our passage this morning's going to be Luke 8, verse 16 to 21. Let's read that, but let's read verse 15. Just it'll flow into why I think he's saying this. Remember, he had four soils there in Luke chapter 8 with this parable of the seed and the sower. And the last soil, verse 15, but that on the good ground, where the seed is the word of God, Jesus said that, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Then Jesus continues, verse 16 is where we'll begin today. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away that which he seemeth to have. Verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it. Title of the message this morning, why does God save souls? Why does God save souls? I want to begin with the first thought this morning. Why does God save souls? It's for his glory. I also want to use Matthew 5:16 that I think has an overlay with this. But let's look at verse 16 here. Jesus says, no man, when he lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Verse 16 comes right after 15. Takes a genius to know that. But it's after he talks about bringing fruit, having fruit unto perfection, he then tells them, it was never my plan that you would hide. It was never my plan that you wouldn't be displayed. It was never my plan to save you and end there. Were really the impetus of my title. And so I want you to see Matthew 5:16, and then I really want to start this. Why does God save souls? The first and most glorious and primary reason of why God does everything is for his glory. And he says this in Matthew 5:16. He's speaking to believers, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You don't go to heaven by good works. The Bible's clear. But if Jesus has saved you, if Jesus has rescued you from the clear judgment that you and I deserve, the Bible says then you become a new creature, that things will change, your desires will change, your purpose will change, the direction of your life will change. And I know what will frustrate believers is it living the Christian life requires discipline, because if you just let life happen, you will not serve the Lord, because your flesh will never, ever want to honor God. If you do not immerse yourself in the truth of God's Word, if I don't immerse myself in the truth of God's Word, if I don't simply submit to God and do what He tells me to do, my life can be derailed in such short order in 2 weeks. And even less than that, I can be involved doing things, not interested in the things of God. And it's simple, but not easy. I want you to understand this. Are you saved this morning? Is your faith truly in Jesus Christ? Now, everybody that I ask, they all tell me yes. But I really want you to think about this. Is your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Is Jesus the one that you love? You know, man, that Psalm 23, that's just an awesome song, right? I was just reminded, and I just recently at a funeral went over Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. Isn't that good? You know, I never struggled with discouragement until I became a pastor. I really don't. And my soul is restored this morning. We didn't get the registrations I wanted from our outreach on Thursday night, but I'm encouraged in the Lord because I've got to base my encouragement on the Lord Jesus Christ and not my expectations. You understand that? And so I'm encouraged in the Lord because you know why? You know why, Brad, I'm encouraged in the Lord? Because I'm an awesome guy. You agree with that? Brad, I wish I were an awesome guy, but let's say I was an awesome guy. My soul isn't restored because I'm awesome. My soul's restored because of the mercy and goodness of God. You know, that's why, Brad. It's just the goodness of God, right? And I want you to understand this. Are you saved this morning? Then I want you to be reminded about this. This is nothing new. God saved you so that we might glorify Him and we might show people that there is a difference, and when they see a difference, we will turn them to Christ, not ourselves. When they compliment us, when they're thankful for us, we can deflect it and say, oh, let me tell you, the more you get to know me, the less you'll like me. You don't have to use that phrase. That's mine. But it's the more you get to know Jesus Christ, the more you'll love Him. Jesus is the reason why I want to do things to help people so that you might know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. You want to follow the world, it'll end in destruction. And I know there'll be pleasure along the way. That's why people sin. That's why we sin. Because there's pleasure in sin. God has saved us. Are you saved this morning? So just think in your mind. Did you glorify Him this past week? And I know we all could do better. But was Jesus a part of your life this past week that you just wanted to honor Him? Nobody knows about it. You know, I deal with so many people. You know, one way that we can honor God is when nobody else knows. Just do what's right. Just honor God. He is so honored. There's a spiritual force out there. Millions of angels, good and bad, that are just watching. And He's glorified when you honor Him when nobody sees it. And you know why I love church services? Let's say you blew it. If it bothers you, be encouraged. If sin doesn't bother you, you should examine yourself whether you be in the faith. If you can go week after week after week after week and do nothing for the cause and glory of Christ, that should be a red flag in your life. I'm not saying you're not saved, but, and it doesn't bother you. I'm not trying to make you guilty this morning. I just want you to know this. He is worthy. Have we glorified Him? That's the number one reason He saved us. Number two reason I want you to show is because He loves us. And I get that from verse 16. You say, oh, Steve, you stretch this. Maybe. I just want you to know this. I know why God did save me, but look at verse 16. He said, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. I want to tell you this. When he saves you, he becomes your light, and you become the light of the world. And it's like this. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but we've got Cliff this week, and it's been good. And so, you know, if Cliff were in here right now, I feel like Mufasa. You know, and so, you know why I'd want to show you Cliff? Because I love him. And I mean, it is, I want you to know him. When Jesus saved you, he didn't save you to cover you up, put you under a bed to hide you. He saved you so that he might display his glory through you. Jesus, I want you to understand this. It's the greatest thing in the world that he loves you. The greatest part of life today is to be loved by God. To know him and his fellowship and his love. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. It defines God's great love. It's amazing. He says, in this was manifested, or made known. In this was made known the love of God. How was the love of God made known toward us? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The greatest demonstration of love that we in the United States of America, and I will tell you, we in Baptist churches, we take for granted, is that God loves us. You've heard it over and over and over again, but I want to tell you, it's the greatest aspect of our lives, if we really understand it, that God loves us. There's not one in this room that we deserve the love of God. But he loved us in spite of our sin, and he said, I'm going to send my Son to the enemy, to those that would have nothing to do with me. And he sent his Son because he loved us. If we just grasp that, I mean, I loved the song this morning, Psalm 23. It was ministering to my soul. I almost didn't want the song to end, and I know I love repeating songs sometimes, but it is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know why? Because he loves me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's going to take care of me. He restoreth my soul. And I'm encouraged today that I've been a little discouraged lately. I try to hide it. I never hide it from my wife. You pray for my wife. Where's she at today? She's right there. You pray for my wife, man. She's my sounding board, my beating board. And I'm like, you know what? You know, so I got to be so careful. He's restored my soul. You know how often he restores my soul? I don't know if you're as flaky as I am, but he restores my soul multiple times a week, if not a day. You know, you go out and you try to serve the Lord, and I know, and you know what I love? I'm with the people that you're trying to serve the Lord. There is so little resistance here that it's why I love this. And so I want you to know this. I appreciate, I love this church. And I know this. It's hard, isn't it? You go out and you try to serve the Lord and you get, you know, kicked in the teeth, rebuffed. And you're like, is it worth it, right? Is it worth it? It's worth it. Let him restore your soul this morning. Are you discouraged? Let him restore your soul. I want you to know this. Are you saved this morning? He saved you because he loved you, and he will never stop loving you. He's committed to you if you're saved this morning. He says to the saved, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm telling you, you know what is shocking? There are many that are lost in this room. I don't necessarily know who they are. You see, it's such a big deal. Are you his? Are you truly the Lord's? Does he know you? Does he know you personally? There's nothing better in life than to be loved by Jesus. The greatest part of heaven will be to be in the presence of his love. There's going to be other parts of heaven. it's all going to be secondary to the great love of God. He saved us for His glory. He saved us because He loves us. He saved us. Look at this. This is from verse 16. Look at verse 16 here in Luke chapter 8. He said, no man when he lighteth a candle. This is what we like. When God lights a candle, when He saves a soul, there's no man when He lights a candle that cover it with a vessel. He didn't save us so that we would be undercover. He didn't cover it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but He sets it on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. I've got John 1 verse 6 and 7. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same, that's talking about John the Baptist, the same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that's Jesus, that all men through Him might believe. And we are the vessels that God will use. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, I read verse 16 that talked about, you know, let our good works shine before men, that your Father in heaven may be glorified. He said in Matthew chapter 5, in the verse prior, he looked at believers and says, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. He is the light, capital L. And while He was in the world, then He was the light of the world. As He left that job to us. We are the light of the world. He wants that all may see the light. That's the end of verse 16. He says, a guy lights a candle that they which enter in may see the light. God saved us so that we would be bright light in a dark world. It's super hard. It's super hard. That's why churches, it's so easy for us to become internal. Because it's sweet, and we need to love each other, and it needs to be the priority. I want you to understand this. If all we do is internal, we've missed it. God told us that He lit the candle that all may enter in that they may see light. Number four, I want you to see this. Look at verse 17. Now, this is interesting. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Now, that all truth will be proclaimed. Now, verse 17, it's context that leads me to tell you what I believe this verse is about. Now, I've seen this over and over. I may have even preached this, and I don't think it's wrong to preach this, but I don't think it's what the context would deliver. Here's the Bible does say this. This is not what this context is. The Bible says this. Every single thing you and I do will be made manifest, and we will answer for it. The Bible says that. I've preached it. Christians don't like that because they think that when they're saved, they'll not be held accountable for all of their sin. You will not be punished for your sin, O Christian. I want to be clear. But you and I, the good and evil that we do, O Christian, will be taken into account with our eternal rewards. That's clearly Bible. I'm not here to preach that. There's nothing that you and I do that won't be made manifest. That's clear. I don't think that's what this verse is talking about. In the context, look at this again. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. In this context, remember I preached last week, just go up to verse 10 of chapter 8. He says, unto you, they said, what does this parable mean? What might this parable be? In verse 10, he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. I believe it was a temporary thing. It's eventually going to be made known. Remember this, Jesus did not want to be received as the earthly king, because if they did, they wouldn't have put Him on the cross. If they would have understood, if the nobles would have understood that He was God, they wouldn't have crucified Him. But there is no intent for God to keep truth from anyone. You understand this? There's a temporary time. The Bible talks about we are blind, but understand this. I'm doing a little study. Do you know the Bible talks, who does the Bible, what groups of people do you think the Bible talks about being blind more, saved or lost? You know the way I'm asking. It's super close. it talks about saved people being blind. Well, how can that be? We are blinded with our sin. We are blinded with hard-heartedness. It's so fascinating. I want you to understand this. The key to having truth is the Word of God. How are you going to know what's right and wrong? It's the Word of God. How are you going to know what God wants you to do? It's the Bible. Not your opinion. You're inundated with social media. Social media is going to tell you, you need more stuff. You need to do this. You need to do that. It's just not true. God's intent is that He saved us, that all truth will be proclaimed. You know this, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You know this, John 8, He's talking to believers. He said, for those that said they believed, he says this in John 8, He said, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God saved us so that all truth will be proclaimed. It's why I'm committed, and I'm going to be tested like nobody's business when I get to Leviticus. I'm committed that all truth will be proclaimed, and I'm going to proclaim it, and I'm going to do it with joy, and I'm going to do it with delight. Or maybe the Lord will come back prior to that. You just never know. I want you to understand this. All truth is intended to be proclaimed and revealed, and that is why He saved us. To the praise of His honor and of His glory, it's to reveal truth. Are you teaching people the Word of God? Are you proclaiming the truth of God? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I got it up on the screen. But you are a chosen generation, talking to believers, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, and all, one of my favorite words, that. Okay, why are we a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people? That, here's why. You should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God saved us. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has saved us that we might proclaim the truth of God. That's why we're here. To proclaim the truth of God. I do love this. I mean, Grant's experiencing what many of you have experienced. He's striving to get Bible studies with people. Is it greater than 50% that show up? Or about 50%? About 50%. And so understand this. You know how difficult it is for someone to say, yes, I would love to study the Bible with you. I know you all are trying. That can be a challenge. Here's the reality. I talked to a guy just yesterday. Oh, I guess maybe Thursday, Friday. I can't remember what day it is. And he was talking to me about being unhappy in his church, and you know, he had this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other, and he said, what do you think? And I asked him, I said, when is the last time that you pursued a lost person, God saved them, you saw them follow the Lord in baptism, you've discipled them, and you've watched them grow in the knowledge and trust in Christ? When's the last time that God blessed you with that? He said, it's been a long time, I can't remember. I said, that's why your joy is not full, and that's why the Lord's joy is not in you. And I told him this, just to be clear. I said, the key is to abide in Christ. Now, I want Grant to go striving to reach people for Christ. The key, Grant, is yes, you need to work hard, but don't put your faith in your hard work. It's Jesus Christ and abiding with Him and just soaking with Christ, and then you will bear much fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, the issue may be the effort, but the issue really, the reason the effort isn't there is because we're really not focused on Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? That is the issue. I look in the mirror all the time, and I want to be doers of the Word, but the key is this. The key for Hope Baptist Church is that we have a church that is focused on Jesus Christ, not just in word. That's a cliche, I know. Focused on Jesus Christ. That He is truly my heartbeat, my love, my passion, because He saved me that we might show forth His praises. The reason I don't show forth His praises like I should is because I'm just not that enamored with Him. So much in my life. Oh, that's the cares of this world from last week, right? I've got to do this. Oh, it's all the excuses. The reality is, it's super hard. I had a guy, I was pretty excited, was supposed to show up Friday at 12:30. I know it was July 4th, but he was working on July 4th, so I didn't worry about it was July 4th, but he works at Thornton's, and so he was going to show up at 12:30, so I texted him at 12:30. I said, hey, we still on? And he texted me, you know, about 1:30. He said, I totally forgot about it. I'm not discouraged. I know where he works. And you know what? I think he was sincere when he said, I want to meet with you. Am I surprised that he forgot? No. Do I think his flesh would be like, hey, don't forget that Bible study? I also trust in the Lord. And you know what I trust? The Lord, for whatever reason, didn't want him to meet that day. Oh, he should have been there. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to keep pursuing. Because you know why God saved me? That I might show forth his praises. That I might tell people how good God is. And you know, sometimes if people criticize you, just tell them, you know what, you're probably right. I'm not all that. But I will tell you who is all that. It's Jesus Christ. God saved us for his glory. God saved us because he loves us. God saved us that all may see the light. God saved us that all truth will be proclaimed. And now this one in verse 18. It's in this context. It's so interesting. I'm going to tell you this, that he may reward us. But look at verse 18. Jesus speaking to his disciples, whatever group that is, followers of him. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away that which he seemeth to have. Now let me give you the context. Look at Matthew chapter 7. This is the I've got it in my notes. So let me just tell you about Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the talents, the five talents, the two talents, the one talent. Remember that? So the one with five talents was responsible, doubled it to 10. The one with two was responsible, doubled it to 4. The one with one hid it, and the Lord said this. He said, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. This is a challenging verse, verse 18 in Luke chapter 8. Here's what he says. Serve the Lord with what you have, your time, talents, and treasure. Serve the Lord with what you have, time, talents, and treasure. That sums up kind of like what we have. Or what does he say? I'll take it away, and I'll give it to somebody else. I've told you this before. Brad, you've got guys that work with you, right? If those guys aren't getting with it, are they going to be working for you long? You're going to take it away and give it to somebody that you can trust. Is that right? Because you're not stupid, right? You want to be a good manager, right? God is so much better. He has a work to be done. If you will be faithful, just faithful in the little things, just faithful in the least of these. You know, it's this. I don't know what God might do to you, but I will tell you this. You know what I love about Don Tillery? Here's what I love about Don Tillery. I know this. Don, and maybe it's this. Don will tell you, oh, you know, I don't have anything to offer the Lord. You know what he does? He comes and he drives a tractor. You know what? He was the one that took the brush down. I know he doesn't want that. Here's, you know what I'm telling you this? Fantastic. I'm not saying you're ready to be a pastor. But you know what I tell you to do? Keep doing the little things. You've become a church rat now, haven't you? When these doors are open, he's here. He's just going to show up. because now you have no life except here. You'll never regret it for all eternity. I don't even want you to dream that much about what God might do. You know what I'm telling you to do? Just keep doing, open doors, keep serving the Lord, and it doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be dramatic. Serve the Lord, and he said, hey, I can trust him. I can trust her. I'm going to give her more. I'm going to give him more. I can trust them. To him who hath shall be given. You know why? Because God loves to reward us. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. If we earthly fathers, it's talking about in that context, know how to give good gifts, and we ought to, fathers. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, if you're saved, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You see, I want us to make sure. Do you view God as a God that is just overwhelmingly wants to bless you? Or do we view God as somebody that we don't want to irritate because, you know, he's grouchy and he'll smack you down? That's the view of the world. Understand that? That is the view of the world, and I think we adopt that too much. God wants to bless me. And blessings come through just simple obedience. It doesn't have to be dramatic. I was super encouraged Thursday night. You know what I was encouraged about more than anything? Is now when we were finished on the shuttle, everybody was dead. So I guess it was a little hot and they walked a lot. But you know what I was encouraged about is it was just the Spirit. And we need to have the Spirit of Christ. And folks came with enthusiasm just to pass out flyers about Vacation Bible School. Now, people were excited to get these flyers because they thought, ooh, this is something to get, until you could watch their countenance sometimes. Oh, Vacation Bible School? Oh, yeah. You'd stay excited. And I was encouraged just with your Spirit. You know, I want to tell you this. I'm not worried how many kids come from that effort on Thursday night. The Lord was honored. The Lord was glorified. You know why? He loves children. We went out because we wanted to reach children. And you know, sometimes I wonder, how creepy does that look? Hi, we'd like your children. You know, okay, all right, man. I mean, it's like, oh, I just want to teach them about Jesus. But you know, but the Lord loves children. I've had so much fun with Cliff, you know. I mean, I don't know why, but he's, remember I told you that one night I learned it's because I underfed him, but I was trying to get him happy, so when I sing, he would cry, but now I sing, he doesn't, you know, so I'm trying to get him to stand up, you know, so he's 6 months old, he should be like kind of running right now, but so, you know, when I stand him up, what do? Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, right? And I mean, it's just, there's so many songs, right? You can sing, right? Happy, 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 happy in the Lord, you know, because I'm like, stop crying, you little brat. No, I don't say it. But it's you know, I just, and I will tell you, my spirit will help his spirit. You know, if I come, he's like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to smile, you know? And it is, the Lord loves to reward us. You know, he saved us so that I could have rewards. You know the reward the Bible talks about if you're lost? The reward of unrighteousness. I don't deserve anything. You know why he'll reward me, Stephen? Because he loves me. We think we have good earthly fathers, and we do. God's way better. Final reason, that we might be called the children of God. Look at verse 19. I'm just going to summarize this up. I may talk about it a little bit more. Verse 19, then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. This would argue against it just being the 12. But, and it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. So it sounds like Mary and Jesus' brothers and sisters, they're like, hey, we need to talk to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said. He honored his mother. He never sinned. He was righteous with his brothers and sisters. But he had a priority, verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren, are these which hear the word of God and do it? I just want to remind you about a verse that I loved. Just 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. What manner of love has the Father bestowed on us? What that is one of my favorite words. I want it to be one of your favorite words. That is such an awesome word in the Bible. I know I've said this often, because when you find that, it's really saying, "Let this is why." You want to know what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us? That we should be called the sons of God. I ask people all the time, "Are you a child of God?" And they'll be like, "Yeah," they're not excited about it. The greatest honor in the universe is to be called a child of God. Are you excited about it? There's nothing greater. Just nothing greater. You know, I'm having so much fun with Cliff, you know, so I just, he laughs now when I go, "Dad, dad, 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 dad." And he goes, and then when he's really upset, he's going, "Dad, dad, 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 dad." So, but I'm, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm switching it. I'm not doing ma, 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 ma. What am I doing now? What am I doing now? Papa, papa, papa. That must be more difficult, because he hasn't done it. It is, I want Cliff to know who his grandpa is. Cliff's going to carry on the hall name. Maybe it was better that the hall name ended. I don't know. But Cliff's going to carry on the hall name, but you know the name way better than being a hall. Being a child of God. God saved us that we might be called the children of God. You see, Jesus was telling them, he talked to them about fruit. And he said, "Let me tell you, it's all for my glory. Because I love you, I want all to see the light. I want you to proclaim the truth. I'm going to reward you like nobody's business. But remember this, if you don't do my work, I'm going to take it and give it unto others. But the greatest privilege is to be called the child of God." If we just grasp that one thought, we'd never be embarrassed. See, I'm fired up now about being a child of God because I'm preaching it. It will cause me to talk to people that I think will reject me. You know why? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. You know, if I got this letter in the mail this week, sometimes, let me just tell you this. I never do understand this. You know, we knock on doors. I've been getting this, it's about 10% of the time now. I don't have time, I'm not interested. I'm like, then why did you answer the door, right? I'm going to have a fake sign and say Publisher's Clearinghouse and see if they'll, right after they say that, and see if they'll be like, "What? Done." I'm not sure what they're expecting. "Hi, I'm from Publisher's Clearinghouse." Why would they answer the door and not, I don't get it sometimes, right? But it's, where was I going? I had a thought and now it went away. It's terrible. It was connecting. You can tell it wasn't in my notes. It is whatever. The greatest privilege in life is to be called a child of God. If you remember that, then you will delight in telling people about Jesus. Let's pray. Father,